out your Bible and something to take some notes with as we study God's Word. We are in our summer series. I don't know if you guys know this. It kind of threw me off guard, but Thursday was actually the official start of summer. Anybody knew that? Anybody figure that? I don't know what the rest of the country is doing, but we in Louisiana already knew summer had started, right? We already, because it's been a billion degrees for a month already. It's already been, honestly, if summer starts when it gets hot, it's like March. That's when it starts around here. And so when I saw that thing and I was like, you know what? That is a good time to start our summer series here at Victory. So it's kind of a joke that we are starting out summer at Victory this late in the heat, but it's the official calendar start of summer. And so that's what we do. Every year around here, we start off a series called Summer at Victory. And it's not really all tied together. If you've been through one of these series already, what we do is we just take some topics that really don't need a whole series on their own. And then we give them at least a Sunday because they're important to talk about on our spiritual journey. But you don't need me 6 weeks kind of hammering this home in your mind. This is something, I think these are kind of like launch pads for us. And so here at Summer at Victory, we're going to kind of go through a few different topics, but I thought I would start it off, honestly, and I do a version of this every summer. I thought I would start it off with our relationship with God first and foremost. If we are going to go into a lot of these different topics or a lot of these different areas of the Bible, and we'll kind of range from Old Testament to New all throughout the summer, I think first off we have to get the foundation right, our relationship with God. Our view of God, because here's what happens, and honestly, this is unfortunate, but it happens to every single one of us, myself included, maybe myself at the top, is we get into different seasons of life, or we go through different walks, or we have different trials, or we have different things that happen. Doesn't even have to be bad, good and bad. And our perspective of God starts to change. Sometimes our perspective of Him begins to shift just a little bit. And honestly, the problem that comes in, and I think our perspective of God grows as we grow and spiritually mature, the problem comes in when it gets distorted. And so the season or the trial or the thing that happened, whatever it is, good and bad, sometimes it's incredible blessing that distorts our view of God. Sometimes it's incredible lack. Whatever it is, sometimes it distorts our view of who He really is. And today we're going to talk a little bit about our relationship with the Lord and His role in our life. We're going to talk just a little. I want to spend just a few moments on that. Our first verse is out of John chapter 10. Now, the most famous verse from this chapter usually is this verse that the enemy Jesus is talking about comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he comes to do. But Jesus says, I have come that you would have life. I have come to give you life and have it to the full. The verse right after this one, keep this in your mind, but the verse after is where I want to kind of land today. Because then Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So he says there's an enemy of your soul. He says, I've come to give you life, however, but then I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I love the fact that Jesus calls himself our shepherd, that he says, I am the shepherd. Not only the shepherd, I am a good shepherd. We're going to talk about what that means today. Before we get to that, though, I want to just kind of give you what this verse is also saying about us. You might have not realized this. Because if Jesus is the good shepherd, he says, I'm the shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep. Who did Jesus lay his life? That would make us the sheep. Come on, somebody. I don't know if you know this. That is not good news, really, for our lives and our thing. This is great news in that he's the shepherd and he lays down his life for the sheep. But the actual idea of that we are then the sheep is a pretty terrible thing about our qualities and our abilities, everybody. I'm just going to put that out there to you today. Because if you've never realized this, the Bible is saying you are the sheep. And I don't know if you know this, but sheep may not be the dumbest animal on the planet, but they are pretty close. Come on, somebody. Like they are pretty far down the list. And so the Bible clearly designates us in several areas as sheep. Like this isn't a one-time thing. Jesus is just like grasping for a metaphor and trying to pick it. He specifically chooses sheep and that he is the shepherd. And sheep have so many issues and hang on. I actually started looking into it. And one of the common realizations, or honestly, one of the common statements about sheep is they are just smart enough to be stupid. Come on, somebody. And I thought that'll preach all by itself. Like, I'll just put that and just go home. You guys can just, they are just smart enough to just be stupid. And I want to talk for just a minute because spiritually, I think all of us can identify with sheep, whether we want to or not. And if you don't think you do, maybe the person next to you could speak some wisdom into you. Because the first thing, jot it down if you're taking notes today. First thing is sheep get lost. Sheep get lost. That's why you have the sheepdog and the shepherd, to teach them where to go. Because sheep don't have that compass. They don't have ability to guide themselves into places that would be beneficial to them. And it's why they have all these things around them. So number one, they get lost. And then you always have the one. That's why we have the parable of the 99 and the one that gets lost. Because they're always getting lost. Always running out and doing it. And that same thing is true for us, both spiritually and physically. Just a show of hands, anybody ever, like, you have a reputation for getting lost? Anybody in here today? Like, just physically, like, you're just bad with it. Nobody in here would want to admit that. Anybody, the person sitting next to you, has that reputation for getting lost? Anybody, you just... I honestly, this is something I have been directly challenged usually in my life. That's something hard for a man to admit. I know we never get lost and we never ask for directions. I'm not saying that I ask for directions. I'm just saying I get lost a lot. All right, everybody, that's just the way. And so I needed this rise of these apps that tell us every turn and every way. That has been a blessing to my life, because I used to get lost and I wouldn't tell anybody. I just go up every street trying to find where I was going to go. And eventually I would land there. Like, that's just the way I used to do it. But you ever get lost? You ever had, like, as you're driving, I remember one time we were headed to the airport, and you ever drive somewhere so many times that you're like, it's just ingrained in your memory, and then you don't even remember, like, you just your brain shuts down and you just end up at home and you're like, this is amazing. I don't remember how I got here. I don't remember the turns that I took, but praise God, I got here. I made it right. Well, one time I got lost in places that I knew where they were. I got lost in places I didn't know. One time we were in another city on vacation, had a rental car. We were headed back, my family and I, headed back to the airport. And we were a little bit late. I don't know if you can believe that about me, but we were just a little bit late. And so we're headed back. And I remember I got talking. I always talk whether I know where I'm going or not. I just like to talk. And my wife hates it, because sometimes I'll talk and I will miss every turn. And I did that this morning. And or not this morning. I did that on the morning of this. And took the wrong turn and ended up on the wrong exit, like 30 minutes the wrong way, already late for the airport, already stressed. And so it made, like, we're like, no, this is not where we're supposed to go. And I didn't even know where I was to begin with. And so it made some very stressful, intense fellowship on the way back there. That's just what happened in our car. So I have vowed to never do it again. That's what it's going to happen. It's never going to happen again. But we honestly, a lot of times in our lives, we have a tendency to get lost. And it happens to us spiritually as well. Spiritually as well, we take the wrong turn. It's easy to get off track. If you've ever noticed this, a lot of times it's not even on purpose. It's just easy to take the wrong turn or to think it was the right turn, and you end up where you never thought you would be or how far you never thought you would go. Sometimes it is deliberate. Isaiah talks about this. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone to their own way. Sometimes it is a deliberate choice. We get distracted by different temptations in life, and it's easy to lose our way. It's why we need a shepherd. If you've never come to that realization that we as sheep not only have these tendencies, not only have these honestly drawbacks in our spiritual lives, but it's because we need a shepherd. We need to have a shepherd. Another thing is sheep. Jot it down if you're taking notes. Sheep get attacked. I don't know why it is, but sheep just have a tendency to get attacked. It just seems to be. They are like the buffet of the animal kingdom. This is like the white, puffy, just waiting to be eaten thing of the animal. They just sit out there on the hillside ready to be eaten. This is just a tendency. They get attacked. And so I don't know if you're looking. I thought about this as well. I don't know if you're looking for a new show to watch. I know sometimes in the summer when it's a billion degrees outside, it's a good thing to find something to like binge watch if you've got kids and stuff. But we found a show we love. And it's called, it's like a guy named Coyote Peterson. And I don't know what his parents were expecting naming him Coyote, but they got it. Come on, somebody. Like, they, this guy is insane. It's why we love to watch it. But he loves, it's an animal show. He loves to go out and like capture all these animals. And so he'll be like, he's craziest guy you've ever seen. Like, he's out in the wild just trying to grab it. It's called Brave the Wild. I had to write it down because I always forget what it's called. It's called Brave the Wild. And he's like grabbing, like capturing the most dangerous animals on the planet. So he'll have like some like huge python, and it'll be wrapped around his neck. And the camera crew is like you'll see, they're trying to like, because they funded this thing at the beginning. It's not like this high dollar project. And the camera crew is like about to help him. He's like, no, it's okay. And they're like, okay. And they kind of back. He's like, okay, wait, it's tight. Come here. And so it's this amazing story. There's all these things he finds, and he grabs these animals, and then he talks about like their defense mechanisms. Like, this one has fangs, and this one is really fast. This one has poison. This one can fly. This is all their defense. You know the animal you never see on this show? Sheep. Coyote Peterson's not like out in the grass, like, all right, we're creeping up on it now. We have to be really careful because, you know, it's really dangerous. This is going to be kind of like, and I want to make sure I might lose my life here. Never, because you know what doesn't have amazing defense capabilities? Sheep. I tell you, they're the buffet of the animal world. They're just out there. Like, some animals have horns, some have teeth, some have poison, some can fly, some are fast. They all have these things to defend themselves. And you think about sheep, like, they're not camouflaged. They're just like white marshmallows on the side of the hill, like waiting to get eaten. Like just puffy, just like waiting to, they don't have really strong teeth. They don't have fangs. They got nothing. They have nothing, defenseless. And I think, honestly, I think that'll preach all by itself. They have no ways of defending. The verse before this verse that Jesus says, I am the shepherd. He says, there is an enemy of your soul that wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the very next verse, and he's like, and you are sheep. I don't know, that's just, if you don't read humor in your Bible, you're just not reading it right. Truth is, without God's protection, without his Holy Spirit and the armor that he gives us, without us depending on God, we are defenseless. We have to have a shepherd. And I don't care how strong you think you are. And honestly, the stronger you think you are, the harder you will fall. Because I don't know how strong you think you are. But we are defenseless without our shepherd. The shepherd with us. The sheep get attacked. Here's another one. Jot it down if you take notes. I'm just going to give you all the bad. If the sheep get dirty. We think of them like you could just hug them. They're just like a fluffy pillow. You just, like, they smell like dryer sheets. That's honestly as far from the truth as possible. They are some of the dirtiest, nastiest animals on the face of the planet. Sheep get dirty. I get disgusting. And so the shepherd has to clean them. And that's true for us as well. The Bible says in Romans, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have missed the mark. And I know there's a conversation in the world today about, well, I'm a good person and they must be a bad person. And so because I'm a good person, I get to go to heaven. There's no way I could go to hell. Or if there is a God, if he is really good, then there's no way I definitely get to go to heaven because I've always been a good person. But we know, obviously, the Bible says, doesn't matter how good a person you are, doesn't matter how good a person I am, all of our righteousness is filthy rags before God. That all of our goodness heaped up in a big pile doesn't get you one inch with God because all of us have fallen short of the mark. All of us are dirty with our sin and we need the shepherd to clean us. That we need the blood of Christ to wash us clean. And so there's this thing. Sheep are some of the dirtiest animals in the planet. We as well, we're sinners. And we are dirty. We need the shepherd to clean us. And so just a show of hands, just to kind of show us in this. Because I know the tendency even is to say this with our lips. And there's a few in here that I think we are really good at saying and really bad at believing. But I'm just going to ask you this. Just play along with me, all right? How many sins does it take to make a sinner? Let's change that up. I've asked you this before. How many murders does it take to make a murderer? Come on, somebody. One, in case you needed to know that. In case you're on the fence today. One makes a murderer. One sin to make a sinner. And so show of hands today. How many of you in your lifetime have ever lied or cheated or stolen just one time in your entire life? Come on, show of hands. Two hands if you're on the thing. Here we go. Almost 100% participation. Those of you not raising your hands, that's a lie right there. Come on, you have made this. You have proved my point right as we got on the outskirts of this thing. What kind of church is this? All you people raise your... One sin to make us, all of us have fallen short. And I want you to see this. All of us have been dirty with our sin. That we need a shepherd to cleanse us. The last one, jot it down. We are like sheep because we get stuck. Sheep get stuck. And I read this about sheep this week. Sheep are actually incredibly stubborn. I don't know if you know that. Sheep are incredible. And what they will do, they will go around the countryside. And so from time to time, sheep will get stuck. Like they'll wedge themselves between rocks or like get their head stuck in a fence. And remember, they are just smart enough to be stupid. They are just smart. And so what they'll do when they get stuck is they get very stubborn. And they will put their head down and continue to push forward into whatever it is they've gotten themselves stuck into. Now that'll preach all by itself. Some of you are having some self-realization right now. Some of you are thinking about your spouse right now. You're like, yeah, that's what they do. I don't know. Not me, Lord, but that's what they... They will get themselves stuck and they will put their head, they will not back up. They will force themselves into this thing. They will keep pushing forward and they will die there unless the shepherd comes and rescues them from it. They will put themselves so they won't back up. They can't unwedge. And it's a fascinating thought when you think about our own lives. Because the truth is all of us find ourselves from time to time in a dark place or in a place where we get stuck. And the problem is too oftentimes we think if I just put my head down and force my way through, if I just keep going, then things will magically work out on their own. If I just keep going in whatever this sin or this thing, whatever it is that I've gotten myself stuck into, that I don't need help, I don't need rescue, I don't need anything else. I just need to keep pushing through. And we think, well, magically it'll all work out one day, and it doesn't. In fact, we get ourselves even more wedged, even more stuck. That's why we need a savior. It's why we need a shepherd to come and rescue us from the positions that we've got ourselves stuck in. If you're struggling stuck today, you just need to know you need Jesus to rescue you. Not another, I can do a lot of things for your life. I can give you all the advice and all the help and all the things that I can do, but you need Jesus to rescue you. You need a shepherd. You're not going to be able to self-will your way out. It's not possible. But you need the shepherd. We can't clean ourselves. We can't protect ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. It's clear we need Jesus. And so we're going to flip over for a few minutes to Psalms 23. Because Psalm 23, David writes this beautiful picture of what it means to have the Lord as our shepherd. To have him in that role as a shepherd and what he does in our lives. And I love this because David writes this from the perspective of a shepherd himself. We know his early life he spent tending sheep. His early life, he understands all of their pitfalls. He understands all of their drawbacks. And he writes this beautiful psalm. These six verses talking about the Lord as our shepherd. And so he's writing this picture of what God wants to do in our lives. Verse 1 in Psalms 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." What a beautiful thought. What an amazing, just incredible thing in this life. He said, "I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Number one, jot it down if you're taking notes. The first thing the Lord does as our shepherd is he provides. First thing God does in this chapter, he talks about. First thing, "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." That tells me two things. First of all, that God wants to care for every need. Emotionally, spiritually, relationally, that he actually cares about our lives in every area. I lack nothing. There is no area where I am lacking with the Lord as my shepherd. Second thing it tells me then, if I am lacking in one of those areas, then it's probably because I don't have him in the role of a shepherd in my life. I haven't submitted to the shepherd in that area of my life. And so if I am lacking, it's probably because I haven't made that decision of, "God, you are my shepherd in this place." And so I continue to let worry and anxiety and fear thrive in that area of my life because I haven't submitted to the shepherd. And too often times it says, "I lack nothing." And maybe there's an area of my life where I'm not allowing him to be shepherd. I've taken the reins back of my own life as a sheep, as smart enough to be stupid. I've decided, well, I'm in control of that area. What we need is the Lord to bring provision in every area of our lives. Then it says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." That's an amazing thought. Because when you study sheep, shepherds will tell you that sheep will not lie down if they feel threatened or if there is danger or they're hungry or they're uncomfortable. They won't lie down. And so the role of the shepherd is he makes this environment not only of no danger, but of peace. He makes this environment where the sheep feel like they are at peace and they're able to lie down in this place. That's what the good shepherd does, that he brings peace to our lives. There is provision not only in our lives and the things that we walk through, but also in our hearts of peace. That's a peace that the good shepherd brings. And then he says he makes them to lie down. Some of us need to be forced. Some of you guys need to be made to lie. I am that type of person. Like, I am 90 miles an hour all of the time. And sometimes the Lord has to make me lie down. Like, he has to, like, force and just remind. Some of us, I think it's a great reminder to take a step back and maybe really reevaluate some things in our lives. I would encourage you to do this, if not weekly, monthly, to reevaluate the pace that you're living, because 9,000 miles an hour is not how you were designed to live. And too often we get ourselves stuck in these cycles and we think, if I just push for this season, but that season turns into another season and another. And by the end of it, you've run 9,000 miles an hour your entire life. And it's not how you were designed to live. It says he makes them to lie down beside these quiet waters. And then it says, and refreshes my soul. But you know, there's a refreshing of the soul that comes. That God brings this peace as part of the provision, that God would renew your soul. And I pray every week that this would happen for you as well. Every week, I don't know if you guys know this, I usually meet usually four or five people a week that just come with different things. And I pray, and it breaks my heart to see sometimes these are things that we walk through and pray through and do, and sometimes they're self-inflicted. And it just breaks my heart that sometimes we live at such a pace and we give ourselves to so many things because we think this is what's expected of me. And this is what I'm just supposed to do. And this is just how I'm supposed to live, because we bought into that lie and we've given every part of ourselves to every part of our lives, and there's nothing left and there's no peace. And I think sometimes we need to come back to this. The shepherd renews our soul, refreshes our lives. And sometimes I said it's self-inflicted, because the world may be going slowly around you, but we're running at 90 miles an hour on the inside. And we let fear and anxiety and trepidation, we let these things honestly take away our joy and our peace. We're always thinking, well, what will happen tomorrow and what's going to happen there and what will my job do this and why will I be there and what's going to happen in the next month, 2 months, a year, 10 years. And it robs today of its peace. And I don't know exactly what the future holds, but I know that my God holds the future. And so in our lives, we put our trust in the shepherd. He says he refreshes our soul, that he provides and refreshes. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. I think we need to take a couple of moments every day and have that realization that it doesn't all rely on me. It doesn't all rest on me. The Bible, 1 Peter says, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. He is the good shepherd. He refreshes our soul. Doesn't matter what happens in the world around us. Doesn't matter the trials and the things, storms we have to walk through. I don't have to go fast on the inside. That the good shepherd has brought peace and comfort, that our souls can be at rest. Back to verse 4 of our text. Watch this. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Translation you may have memorized, through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I walk through, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Prepares a table for me in the middle of my enemies. I love this verse. He prepares a table, anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. We could spend weeks talking about this, but number 2, jot it down if you're taking notes. Second thing the shepherd does is he protects. The shepherd provides, but then the shepherd protects. This group of scriptures, David is talking about this because David fights the lion and David fights the bear. He understands this idea of the shepherd protecting the sheep. Not only providing, but protecting. And I love the thought he's taking us through the dark valley. You know, if I could just challenge our theology just a little bit today. And I think too many times, a lot of us as Christians in America believe that if we get our lives right, if we somehow just get to Jesus and we get everything squared away, if we just somehow pray the prayer and do the thought and live our lives, we somehow do that, then that means that all of the problems will be erased from the rest of our life. That we won't go through any problems or trouble or any real trouble. Because listen, this is the problem. I think sometimes we have settled one theological fault and we have just settled ourselves into another one. Because I think as Christians, we have this idea plunged into our head. I know not everything will be right. I know there will be problems. I know there will be trouble, but not real trouble. You understand that? Like we think, well, if I just serve the Lord and I go through, there's going to be things that crop up. I understand that. I'm going to get a busted toe and I'm going to have my car break down. It's going to have those things, but not real trouble. Because I have done this in my own life. And I don't know about you. I just preached to myself this morning. I have gone through seasons that I can say all the right thing. I can say, I know the Lord protects, but I know that sometimes I go through to build character and to give hope. And I know those things and I understand there will be trouble. But then I get in the midst of something real and my face is like shocked. I'm like, what is this, Lord? Like, what is this stuff you have caused to happen in my life? Because we can say the words, but oftentimes we get caught in that weird middle ground. I know there will be trouble, but not real trouble, God. I know I shouldn't be walking through this. I shouldn't have that. We get the verse right before Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. He says, there is an enemy of your soul that wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life. That the good shepherd not only provides, but he protects. But what does that mean? Because sometimes we think, well, he'll just make my dreams come true. That's not the shepherd's role at all. All those little sheep out there in the field, they got 100 different dreams that want to come true. But most of them are not even self-beneficial. Most of the dreams we had, if we really thought about it, are just short-sighted, selfish dreams. But he's the good shepherd that he provides, he protects. You look at scripture, it's not the case at all. Jesus promised his followers, in this world you will have trouble. I promise you, you will have a mess. You're going to have issues. In fact, a lot of people, Jesus tells them very plainly, a lot of people are going to hate you. A lot of people are going to talk about you, backstab you, so you have that to look forward to. Come on, somebody. It's going to be amazing. You just pray for him. That's what he told them. You just pray for him. All of these things are going to happen. And Jesus tells us about them. It's going to happen, but we think God is like this helicopter parent that's just like hovering above us, like just like avoiding all the obstacles and just like voiding that and like breaking that and like doing just like, or like a lawnmower parent, just mowing down all the obstacles, right? That would be in front of us. And it's not like that at all. We still walk through the trials and the tribulation. We still go through these things. When we get in the middle of it, we think though, well, God will surely just pluck me out of this. God will eject me. But it's not that at all. In fact, I've told you this before. We walk through these trials and tribulations. We walk through the pains of life. Jesus doesn't take you out of the storm. Jesus joins you in the midst of it. That this is not him ejecting us from the troubles and the trials. No, he joins us in the midst. The disciples on the boat. He joins us in the middle of the thing that we're walking through. And then if you're taking, here's the point for today. If you're taking some extra notes, you can jot it down. Jesus doesn't take you out of the storm. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus takes you through it. He takes you through the storm. Because on the other side of this, there are some things that are worked into your life that you never would have had if you hadn't walked through it. But he doesn't leave you alone in the midst. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Then when we get in the middle of it, and you watch this every single time in the Bible, when God's children come to this, when they come to these different trials and tribulations that God takes, you see them. God has to take them through something to take them to what he has for their lives. They walk through fire to get to freedom. They walk through persecution on their way to revival. We walk through the trials of this life on our way to eternity. That God takes us through these things, but there's a promise of his on the other side. That's why he said, through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. But Jesus doesn't take you out of the storm. He walks with you through it. And then it says, watch this, no matter what we're facing, he's with us. And then his rod and his staff, back on that one, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. You know why? Because again, people sometimes get our theology messed up. We have the wrong perspective of God. And many people look at the rod and the staff and they develop an unhealthy fear of God. Because they think like the rod and the staff are there to punish the sheep. And nothing could be further from the truth. They're not there to punish. They're here to defend against enemies. The shepherd doesn't carry the rod to beat the sheep. You know what kind of sheep sells at market if it's been beaten and done? I'm just going to throw that out there. The shepherd's not out there breaking the legs of the sheep. That's not how this thing works. The shepherd is there to defend the sheep. The shepherd loves the sheep. And so the shepherd defends against enemies that would attack. The rod and the staff are there to defend them. And so too often times we look at that and we get the wrong perspective of God. And people run from God thinking, well, he's trying to get even with me. He's just trying to punish me. He's just trying to judge me for those things. He's mad at me that I ran so far, and so I'll never run back. And yet nothing could be further from the truth. The rod and the staff are there not to create fear. They actually bring comfort to me, the verse says. They comfort me because I know they're there to defend me against the enemies. And the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against him. The rod and the staff bring comfort to my life. That their comfort in this, knowing my God is for me, not against me. You can live with a confidence that nothing else can give you, knowing your God is for you. That our God is for you, that he is the good shepherd. And then it says, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. A table for me. Isn't it amazing? In the moment that the enemy attacks, God is preparing a table in the midst of it. It's just incredible. If you've never pictured in your mind, I want you to just picture right now the enemy surrounding and God preparing a table in the middle. That God would bring peace in the middle. He says, even in my darkest moments, even in the moment of attack, when the enemies are all around you, I'm preparing a table in the midst of it. And so then my question, just to take a little further today, my question would then be, then who have you invited to sit at the table? Because obviously from the verse, it does not make a difference if the enemy has surrounded your life. God's preparing a table in the middle of the attack. But then too often times we invite the wrong things to sit at the table. And so we know that the enemy is around, but we've invited fear and anxiety and depression and these things, this distress in our lives, then have come and sat at the table and they're calling the shots. And too often times we've invited them, an addiction, to sit at the table and call the shots in our life. And it is robbing you of the peace that Jesus came to give you, that the good shepherd brings. See, Jesus never promised a life free of persecution or problems or hardship. He did promise, though, in the midst of it, that he would bring peace. That in the middle of it, he would bring peace. That you could have that protection, that provision. Then he goes on to say, you anoint my head with oil. It's something the shepherds would do for the sheep because they would get these flies that would fly up the sheep's nose. And so the shepherd would anoint. He would like douse the sheep's nose and mouth in this oil to keep away. Now, it's a disgusting thought, but it's a beautiful picture of what God wants to do. That even, I thought about this verse, that even the small things, even the little flies that annoy the sheep, the shepherd is protecting against. Even the little annoyances. Now, don't look at anybody around you today. Eyes up front, everybody. Don't look at. But even the small irritations that God would protect against. Even the small, that there would be a peace. And as we close, verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Last one. Jot it down if you're taking notes. Last thing the shepherd does, he promises. The last thing, number 3, he promises. He provides, he protects, he promises. See, God has made some promises to your life. If I encourage you to read the Bible for yourself, to pour in, because he has made some beautiful promises for the life of the believer. That if you have to read your Bible, they are beautiful. The promise of new life, the promise of mercy, the promise of eternity that God has made to your lives. And the word follows there. It surely will follow me all the days of your life. That word follows is actually the Hebrew word picture of a dog that chases a person. Come on, somebody. Like, it's this beautiful picture, a dog that chases. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I used to play basketball. I used to love to play ball. And I used to be good at it. I wasn't actually very good at it at all, but I used to love to do it. Come on, anybody have a hobby like that? And so I used to love that. I never saw a shot that I didn't like to take. Shoot to get hot, shoot to stay hot. It was just the mantra of my life. So all through high school and college, I loved to play ball. And so my first semester of college, I had a friend of mine that would run down to the rec center with me to play basketball. We played until it got really dark at night. It was just like the thing we liked to do. And so we would play ball all the time. We'd run in games up and down the court until it got dark. And so outside the rec center, they had this outdoor court with some parking. And we would just play as much as we could, as fast as I could get on the court. If I could convince somebody to put me on their team, they didn't know how I actually shot. They would just put me on the team. I would play. And a buddy of mine, he's with me. And so we would play these games. And thing about my buddy is he was intensely afraid. I don't mean like a little like whatever kind. He had this intense fear of dogs. Just any kind of dog. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. But it just something in his mind or in his heart. He just intensely feared. So one time we're out there running basketball, just kind of running a game. And this car pulls up to the parking lot. And they open their back door. And out of this car hops these two little Yip Yip dogs. You know what I'm talking about? Like little Yip Yip. And these things, not on a leash. And they take off for the court. And I mean, I'm talking like these, they don't even qualify. You should have seen these dogs. Like they're running to the court, these little like, and they're probably cats to be honest with you. That's what they were. They were just like, they didn't qualify as dogs. And they run out onto the court. And my friend, I look around and he is gone. If you had a radar to shoot his speed that day, like he's in Paris this summer for the Olympics, it would have been this amazing, just Olympic speed, just running the other way. And dogs just know this. They can see the person that is most afraid. And so they take off after him like, yip, 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 yip. And he is running, screaming across. Beautiful picture of what God's love is for your life. Come on, somebody. The way that his mercy and his grace will follow. Like those two little yip-yip dogs follow the one person they know is deadly afraid of them. And I just took it all in. I'm not going to help him. I just thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Your mercy will follow me. Will follow. Will chase me down. This beautiful picture of God's love for your life will follow me. And so then my question would be to you today, are you running from God or are you running to him? Because his mercy and his grace, the promise is it will follow us. His mercy and his grace running after you. But some of you have gotten so sideways or distorted your view of God that you're running as far as you can from him. Not knowing it's his mercy and his grace that's tracking you down. See, we think it's his judgment and it's his you know, the big hammer coming down to cast judgment on me or to get even with me that God's so mad at me. And so I have to run as fast as I can. We hear the footsteps, but we think it must be the judgment of God. But it's his mercy and his grace that's tracking you down. It's his mercy that's following you. And so are you running from God or are you running to him? It's oftentimes with the wrong perspective of God, we push him away. And now more than ever, if you'll turn to him, it's this beautiful picture of the shepherd. I don't know how far you think you've run. I don't know how far you think you've gone. But I promise you right now, if you turn to him, it's his mercy, his goodness, his grace that's tracking you down. It's available for you. I promise he wants some beautiful things for your life, the shepherd, to provide, to protect. Some promises for your life. Bow your head with me as we pray today. God, I want to ask that you would touch us. And Lord, that you would reframe our perspective of who you are. Because you don't change. Father, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. But sometimes we get a distorted view of you. And so I just pray, change our perspective. Let us see you as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Lord, that even in the natural, sometimes it gets distorted that, Lord, the natural flow of things, we think, well, the sheep give their lives. That's the purpose. They're the sheep. They should give their lives. That's just what they're there for. It's what they're bred for. It's what they're thing. But you've turned it on the head. You say, the good shepherd, you lay down your life for us. But you didn't have to. You didn't have to leave your glory. But for some reason, you thought we were worth it. And so we thank you that you are the good shepherd. That you lay down your life for us. That you provide, that you protect. And that we have the promise of eternity in you. Help us, Lord. Help us to place our trust in you. In every area of our lives. To hold nothing back. And some of you are here today and you're in the room or you're watching online. And maybe you've gotten a distorted view of God as the shepherd. Or maybe you've never known him. Maybe you need a renewal of your relationship with him. Maybe you've never had a relationship with him. Because it's easy for us to get off track. It's easier for us to go our own way, like Isaiah says. Maybe you're here today and you are far from him. You don't know him at all. I promise you, his mercy and his grace is available to you. It's chasing you down. And you don't know why you even came today. Or maybe you don't know why you're watching online. Or maybe there's stuff that's happened the last few weeks and you're like, I don't know why I saw that. Or I don't know why someone said this to me. I don't know why I just keep seeing this word or this place or that thing. I don't understand. But I just want you to know there are no accidents in God's kingdom. That's God drawing you. And it's not his judgment that's drawing you. It's his mercy and his grace. But there is repentance of sin. Don't get me wrong. There is repentance of the things that we've done. But it's his mercy and his grace that has redeemed us. It's his blood shed on the cross that is the sacrifice for our sins. His mercy is available to you. So I don't care how far you've run. I don't care what things you think you've done that have disqualified you. Every single person, the Bible says. Because it's very clear, all of us have sinned. All of us are sinners in need of his grace. But it says Jesus gave his life on the cross. That while we were yet sinners, he gave his life for us. He says that anyone can call on the name of Jesus and be saved. Anyone, including you, including me. That God loves you. That he is the good shepherd. That he wants you. He loves you more than you could possibly imagine it. He wants you. You say, that's me. If you would say, that's me. I know I've run far and I know I've fought hard, but I want his mercy and his grace. I want new life. I want the promise of eternity and I want him to wash me clean. If that's you, it would be our honor to pray with you today. Right now, this moment, it's for you. And so if it's you, you say, I want to pray that prayer. Pray it with us. We have dedicated our lives to pray this with every single person. Every single person who wants to follow Jesus. And no one prays alone. Come on, church, let's pray this with them. If that's you, say it with us today. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. I repent of all my mistakes. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose again. And I make you the Lord of my life in Jesus' name. Now, God, I thank you that you are always there for us. Father, I thank you that you are the good shepherd. I thank you that your goodness and your love and your presence and your power and your mercy are pursuing us. God, I help you. God, I just pray. Lord, I pray that this week, Lord, you would help every single one of us reframe our perspective. Show yourself strong. Be our provision. Be our protection. And Lord, in every trial and persecution, in every storm that we would walk through in life, let us set our eyes on your promises. Your promise of mercy. Your promise of salvation. Your promise of new life. Your promise of eternity. Set our eyes on what matters. We pray, God, we thank you. You are the good shepherd that walks with us in every area of our life. We praise you and we thank you. We honor you. We love you today. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, church, can we give God praise for what he's done today?